Hi, I'm Lori Jackson, and when I'm not empowering aspiring and established business owners with financial education or financial coaching, I'm listening to the Power Plug Podcast by Fidelity Bank.
You're listening to the Power Plug Podcast by Fidelity Bank, where we believe in you, your dreams, and your POWER, the potential of women entrepreneurs realized, and all women in business who want to make great things happen. Each episode is a lively conversation filled with practical advice, tips, and inspiration to help you grow your business and keep you energized. Now, for your host, Mary Foley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Mary Foley here. It's great to be with you. Hey, good news. If you're listening to this podcast, there's a good chance you successfully blinged your way through Mardi Gras 2020. Congrats to you, to all the crews, and everyone who raised a glass, who danced, or threw, well, something, to partygoers. Now may be the time to raise a glass to elevating your side hustle to a full-time gig. Or maybe it's time to grow your existing business to a new level, and you need funds. They say it takes money to make money, but where do you get the money? And which option is best for you? That's what we'll be talking about with today's guest. But first, have you subscribed yet to the Power Plug Podcast on Apple Podcasts or on Stitcher? It's so easy and so handy to keep up on the latest episodes and for you to just binge listen. To subscribe, you either start by going to fidelitybankpower.com and then you click on podcast that you'll see under the Find Your Power tab, or you can start with your phone. And you go and look up the apps. And if you have an iPhone, you download the Apple Podcast app. And if you have an Android phone, go to Google Play and download an app called Stitcher. Open the app, search for Power Plug Podcast by Fidelity, and then boom, you are ready to go. Now, let's get talking with today's guest. Today, we're talking with Lori Jackson. After a career in healthcare supply chain logistics, where she learned a lot about negotiating, and then as a financial advisor, where she learned a lot about investing, Lori is on a mission to empower the community through financial literacy. As a certified financial education instructor, she's a financial teacher and educator, as well as a coach for those who want to start a business or grow their existing one. Lori, welcome to the Power Plug Podcast.
Hi, Mary. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm excited that you're here too, because money is one of those things and funding is one of those things that can often feel like a mystery. You know, how do we really get it done? So I'm hoping you shed some light on that. And I'm hoping you can put the fun in funding our business dreams and our growth. But before we get into funding options and more, let's start with the biggest reasons you've found that side hustlers, entrepreneurs, and you know, existing business owners need an infusion of funds.
Well, Mary, one of the things that I found is that dreams are great, but when you can turn that dream into a reality, that is awesome. Now, the biggest thing is you must understand the difference between an idea that can grow and an idea that is just a side hustle, right? So is the time, the effort, and energy work with you would have to put in to get it off the ground. So for example, I make praline candies, sweet potato pies, pecan pies, different things like that. And that's my side hustle. But my question to myself is always, is it worth it when I need to put funding into it to be able to scale up and grow? Right.
Right.
And so many business owners have great ideas, but they cannot get it off the ground, hence the growth portion, or they cannot make enough money to scale the business. And one of the biggest things that I find is that most people don't actually know the definition of scale and how that's different from growth, right?
Okay.
So to grow means to add resources at the same rate you are adding revenue, right? This could be introducing a new product line that will cost you money to produce, but of additional products, but your revenue will go up at the same time. So it's kind of like you need to spend money in the growth phase to make money. But to scale means revenue is increasing rapidly while you are slowly adding additional resources. So the best example that I can give of that is thinking about Panera Bread, right? That's a place that I frequent a lot. And when I go to Panera Bread has this huge pastry selection. It would be super easy for them to add multiple types of cookies and breads without rapidly increasing the resources that they're putting into their business, because it's usually the same base ingredients. But their revenue and rate can climb drastically because of the fact that they have the option to appeal to a multitude of customers.
Yep, got it. Okay. So most of the time when you're advising and coaching entrepreneurs, whether they've got a side hustle or a full-time thing, are they looking to grow or to scale?
Now, it just depends on which type of customer I'm talking with, right? So if it is someone who's just starting out, then of course the goal is growth. Mm-hmm. But most of my clients who come to me who are actually in the phases of business are actually looking to scale, but they don't know what that means. So they're saying, I need to grow and I don't know how to stop being, I guess you could say, quote unquote, paycheck to paycheck in the entrepreneur world, right?
Right.
So yeah, that's what ends up happening.
Got it. Okay. All right. And so that really is a good distinction, because we do use growth kind of as a catch-all, but a term that covers a whole lot of situations, really, right? Because no one wants to shrink. We all want to grow.
But exactly.
It's a matter of, yeah, if we really actually need to scale. I love what you said about really considering if it's an idea that can grow versus an idea that's a side hustle.
Yes.
And a lot of times the things that are our hobbies or things that we just really enjoy doing, and yes, we can make some extra bucks, are not necessarily scalable in
exactly.
a way to make it a full business, or that we would want it to be, because it would take, quote, the fun out of it all of a sudden.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That's how I feel about my side hustle. I do that for the love of it, for the fact that people enjoy the goodies, right?
Yep.
But to make it a full-time business, then that becomes the stressor part. Then I have to actually go out there. And as I said before, I put the time and effort into it. And I'm like, no, it's okay. It's not worth it. No, I'm good.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's always good to know where these things kind of fit in, right, to the bigger
exactly.
picture, right?
Yes.
Now you've identified 10 different options to fund your business, especially those in the startup phase. All right. So,
yes.
And I mean, 10 sounds like a lot, but those options fall into three overall funding models. What are those three overall funding models?
So it's really simple. It falls into the three categories. And the first category is money. When you are trying to grow or scale a business, it can cost you debt, number one, right? So debt is just the money that you borrow from someone else and you have to pay it back within a certain time frame. So those are loans or different things that fall under that category, right?
Right.
The second category is actually money that is considered equity. So it is not necessarily the money you put into the business all the time, but it's also the business, the part of your business that you tend to give out. You tend to trade, essentially, and have working agreements with partners or amongst different investors or parties. And so that equity is something that's being poured into your business that you don't have to pay back, but you've traded kind of a piece of your business for it, right? And then the third category is grants or gifts. So if you are a nonprofit or have a certain type of business, you can fall under the granting category, correct? And if you are have family and friends that are gifting you because they believe in your business, then it's not money that you have to pay back. It's just money that they're contributing to the business. So you have the two biggest distinctions is that gifts and grants and also equity is money that you don't have to pay back versus the debt category is money that you do have to give back. So you make a plan for being able to figure out which category you want to fall under as a business owner.
So I want to talk a little bit about these 10 different options that I know fall into one of these three categories, right? So you started with debt, and there was a number of things within that. I remember loans was one of them. But let's go over a few more details about the options within debt and then with equity and then with we can come back to grants and gifts. Okay. So let's look at the debt. Can you give us a little more detail about some different options within the debt category?
Okay, yes. So when it comes down to debt, one of the biggest things that we do as business owners is that we actually try to go out and get loans. That's always the big thing. Every business owner says, I have to get a loan. I have to get a loan. This is a Fidelity Bank podcast, right?
Right.
So 9 times out of 10, you probably got with Fidelity thinking that, okay, a loan is going to be an option. I need to establish this relationship. So that's one of the biggest things that fall under the debt category. It is when I'm going to a lending institution, whether it is a bank. Then you have the option of going to some different entities that are specifically made for business owners to be able to provide lending, like Hope Credit Union, like True Fund, like Lending Source, but their name just escaped me for a second. But you have these different type of entities that truly cater to business owners, and they have different resources available to help you grow, to help you excel. So that's the biggest thing that falls under debt. It is either bank loans, which are from private entities. So if you have a relationship with a bank, you have a relationship with a credit union, you go to them and talk to them and find out what type of resources they have available to help your business. Outside of that, you actually have what they call a line of credit. So I tell people all the time, be able to know the distinction between you needing a loan and you actually just needing a line of credit. A line of credit can be something that's utilized just to get you from point A to point B. Maybe you have some lows in your seasons and you're just trying not to go into the negatives, but you use that line of credit to be able to help get you over that hump. But that and those type of options just help reduce the financial stress that you're going to go through because you know you're not producing as much income. And then it allows you to take a step back and actually prepare for that seasonal low instead of stressing through that seasonal low. So that's pretty much, honestly, the debt side of it, because everything else kind of falls under the equity because of the different type of relationships with the other sources.
Got it. Okay. Well, listen, we've got to take a quick break because I've got even more questions about even on the loan side. So hold on 1 second and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Liz Brockman, Director of Power at Fidelity Bank. As a woman going after her dreams, you deserve a bank that's more than a bank. You deserve a partner. That's why we designed our Power program to not only meet your financial needs, but also your non-financial ones, like practical know-how, savvy connections, and trustworthy resources. Whether it's our Power join-up sessions, online member directory, or private Facebook group, we are your community partner to help your business succeed and flourish. Because at Fidelity Bank, we are here for powerful business, and we are here for good. Find out more, go to fidelitybankpower.com. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back. This is Mary Foley. And today I'm talking with Lori Jackson about getting the funds to fund your new startup or grow your existing business. And Lori, right before break, we were talking about different types of funding options, and debt was it, you know, one big category. You said loans specifically within that, as well as potentially a line of credit. I know so many women entrepreneurs who have either started their business or they look to grow their business by using their credit card or more than one credit card. And I know that can be kind of dangerous because it's so high priced in terms of the interest rate.
Yes.
But it's a form of a loan, right? I mean, it really is. Can you just comment on using credit cards and how we can make sure we're using them in the best way for our business, not only now and our needs, but in the future?
Yes, yes, yes. So Mary, that is a great point. And one of the things is actually, it was intentional to leave out credit cards as an option because of the fact that they are just, they're dangerous to a business owner. It's a slippery slope to say that you will use a credit card to start or fund your business, because that stress is surpasses some understanding, essentially. And what ends up happening with credit cards that I don't actually tell people to use that as an option is because, number one, you have the high interest rates. Most of us have credit card, and even if you have a great credit score, your interest rate is about 14%, if not higher than that. That is just one of the lows based off of a great credit score. But mentioning credit, right? Using your credit card can also really truly hurt your credit. When I use loans and business lines of credit as an option, you'll notice I always preface the fact that I said business, because I'm not telling you, you should get a personal loan for your business. You should get a personal line of credit. Everything should be under your business. You should be building your business resources, your business's name, your business's credit, not focusing on your personal. And on top of that, the main reason I list those two loans and lines of credit is because that's an intentional decision. You have to be intentional about going after a loan, about going after a line of credit versus a credit card. It's easy. It's accessible. It's there. And if you haven't rationally thought through your entire business plan and what that money is actually going to be used for, it's easy for you to go from saying, I'm going to use this credit card to start my business and put the $130 that it'll cost to start my business on it. And then next thing you know, you've put $5,000 on it. And now you're stressing because you're still trying to get your business off the ground. You're still trying to get your business from point A to point B. And now you have this other debt that just popped up out of nowhere. And you don't have a choice. You have to pay that. Or then at that point, your credit suffers.
Let's talk about equity. That was another category that we could maybe get some funds for our business. You mentioned before, we don't have to pay it back, but we may have to trade part of our business. So share more about that.
Okay. So, I mean, of course, the first thing when it comes down to equity, we all should know as business owners is bootstrapping, right? Or sweat equity. This is us. This is our blood, sweat, and tears, our fighting, our crying, everything involved into this, right? And this is just us getting our business off the ground. But outside of that, when it comes down to equity, you actually have family and friend options. So some people use those, some people don't. But with the family and friends, I tell everybody, if you're like, don't ask someone else to invest in your business if you're not willing to invest in your business, right? Don't ask them to give you money, but they're not getting anything out of it. Because in my opinion, that just shows the seriousness of how much you really want this. I'm going to come to my family. I'm going to come to my friends with a proposal. And I'm going to offer you a piece of my business. Maybe it is 5% in interest or 10% in interest. And most of the time they say no, but it's the gesture of it all, right? One of the other pieces of equity that can go into your business is one thing that I absolutely love. I don't understand how we got away from this, but I'm bringing it back. Bartering for service.
I love it.
Okay.
Okay.
That is a great tool that we seldomly use in society as of today. There's not always going to be a time where you actually have the money to be able to maybe pay for a website or pay for flyers or pay for this or pay for that. But you might actually have a service that you can exchange with someone else to be able to get those. So of course I do finances, right? So when I first started out, I was able to trade my financial services for the different things that I needed for my business. But even on the flip side, when I have clients who come to me who maybe can't afford my services, then we look at what it is that they're offering. So I'm a foodie. I have a client who owns a restaurant. Hey, you can feed me and I can provide you the financial services, right? So
right.
We look for different ways to be able to utilize the services. And not only does that save us a couple of bucks, it also helps us develop meaningful relationships and that allow us to be able to not only recommend and spread our business across a whole different atmosphere that we didn't even know we had access to. But then outside of that, you actually have buy-in options. So this is if you're offering some type of service or product where you can get pre-order. So this is people literally pouring equity into your business. This is what you see when you in the stock market, when you see companies do an IPO release, when they're first putting their stock on the market. They are giving you a piece of their business, pre-selling it for 10 bucks or something like that, because they want to make a certain amount of money. So they're letting you pour that equity into their business, right? And then outside of that, you have crowdfunding platforms. So you have ways where you can reach out to the mass, the general public, and say, hey, this is an idea I have that I believe in. I'm asking for your support to be able to donate and make this happen. So those are a couple of the things that fall under equity. We have a couple more, such as one of the newest things that's come up in the last couple of years. Are accelerator programs and pitch competitions. So accelerator programs is just that. It helps accelerate your business, accelerate you to the next stage. And these programs are offered by different entities, some nonprofit, some for-profit, but that it allows you to get specific help with your business, with different goals that it is that you have. And some of it is tangible resources, some of it is financial assistance, but it's still equity into your business because it's going to get you to a place that your business was not at before you joined the program.
Well, and I know that you've coached quite a few people in the propeller pitch competition right here in New Orleans.
Yes, yes.
And they either won or they were in the top tier.
Yes.
So I'm really curious, you know, to get that means that they had to present well, and to present well means that they really had to know what to say and what not to say.
Yes.
When asking for funding or pitching to be a part of that accelerator. What advice can you give us from that experience about what we should say or not say specifically when it comes to asking for funding?
Yes. So that is a great point. So with the propeller pitch competitions, I'm always the financial coach. I'm always the person that goes in and speaks about the numbers. But the thing that I tell every single person that I coach on the numbers is when you are speaking to investors, your position must be to tell a story. Where are you now? Where are you going? And where can you be if I give you my money? That's the narrative. So the financial slides show the projections that will allow you to pay them back if you must. But at the end of it all, your job is to convince the investor to give you capital you need. So if I believe you're in a growth phase, as we talked about earlier, you should convince me that you are and that you need this to scale up. If you are in a scale up phase, don't try to convince me that you are well off, right? Because that can turn their attention to someone who actually needs it more. And then you end up talking yourself essentially out of the resources. So it's about laying down the narrative and telling the story and showing how their money will help your company.
cannot believe we're already out of time. And so I have two quick questions for you as we finish up. One is about you. What was the moment in your journey that inspired you to do what you're doing now?
For me, the turning point in my career was honestly just encountering people who needed help over and over. As you pointed out earlier, I was in supply chain and I was dealing with supplies, but I was always fighting and negotiating for the patients. And then on the flip side, dealing with investments, I wasn't really dealing with people who had investment problems. They had money problems. It was, how do I not live paycheck to paycheck? I don't have two pennies to rub together. And I just found that there were more people who needed my perspective from this point of view versus, hey, let me help you invest.
For those who would love to connect with you further, Lori, what is the best way they can contact you?
So I'm always accessible. That's the great thing about my life and being an entrepreneur, right? I get to set my own schedule. So if you would ever like to talk or have questions, you can call me, number one, on my cell phone. It's 504-715-5980. And again, you can call me or text me, or you can email me. So my email address is LBJ, so that's L as in Larry, B as in boy, J as in Jackson, at msccoaching.com, which stands for Making Sense of Sense. So there are two C's in that.
Got it. Thank you so much. Well, this has been fun, so informative, and thank you for the work that you do for others as well.
Thank you for having me, and I enjoyed it, definitely.
When you meet the right person or gain the right knowledge you need right now for your business, it feels like magic, doesn't it? These kind of magical moments happen every day for over 600 women who are members of our Power Program. I know firsthand because as the director of Power, I talk to members every day and see the magic happen. I'm Liz Brockman and would be happy to talk with you too. To find out more, go to fidelitybankpower.com, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Feeling more powerful? Keep it going. Go to fidelitybankpower.com where you can instantly listen and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Because we are here for powerful business, and we are here for you.